This is WTIC News Talk 1080. Your news, weather, traffic, sports, and talk station. WTIC. WTIC HD Hartford. A CBS radio station.
Good evening, 6 o'clock, Hartford temperature 55 degrees. I'm Bill Pierce, WTIC 1080 News. This news sponsored by Sleepy's. The new Fairfield man accused in the Saturday night shooting death of his wife says that she was coming at him with a knife. 63-year-old Robert Bell is charged with manslaughter in the first degree with a firearm and also faces other charges in the shooting death of 47-year-old Svetlana Bell. She was found unresponsive on the kitchen floor and pronounced dead about an hour later at Danbury Hospital, Robert Bell being held in lieu of $750,000 bond. State police have arrested a man already behind bars on unrelated charges in the killing of a Norwich man who was found shot in the head in Basra back in September. Daquan McEachin has been charged with murder in the killing of 28-year-old Darius Bishop, whose body was found on a baseball field. Manchester police have arrested the former chief of the 8th District Fire Department. Paul Atrico is charged with larceny and false entry by a public official, accused of submitting a letter certifying 17 members of the department qualified for a tax abatement based on the number of volunteer hours they put in for the town, when in fact only three appeared to be eligible. Atrico is due in court on January 8th. Members of the Malloy administration and legislative leaders are beginning talks on what the governor calls his roadmap to closing the state budget shortfall. The governor says he understands it's going to be difficult.
Many of these are going to be painful cuts, cuts that no one in my administration or many in the legislature are looking forward to making, but they are under the circumstances necessary. The details will be worked out over the coming days so that we can present a deficit mitigation package and address our financial concerns without raising taxes.
President Obama addressed auto workers in the Detroit area today and said he will not compromise on a tax rate hike for the wealthiest Americans at the expense of the middle class. The president says if no deal is reached to avoid the so-called fiscal cliff, taxes on the average American family will rise by about $2,200 a year. The president says he's ready to horse trade with Republicans.
I will work with Republicans on a plan for economic growth, job creation, and reducing our deficits. And that has some compromise between Democrats and Republicans. I understand there's people have a lot of different views. I'm willing to compromise a little bit.
Senator Joseph Lieberman, who's wrapping up a four-term stay in the U.S. Senate, says he hopes this weekend's clandestine meeting between the president and House Speaker Boehner is the start of an agreement.
I hope there's a deal in place. But honestly, I don't have real evidence that there is. But honestly, as I talk to people who are in the room negotiating, they tell me, I mean, really, at the highest level of leadership, not much is actually happening there.
Connecticut is one of the first states to receive approval from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services on a plan to set up a new health insurance exchange. Six states won approval today for plans developed under the president's health care overhaul law. Rates regarding asthma in Connecticut are up, according to a new report. The State Department of Public Health citing that report, saying the number of adults suffering from asthma was up 17.9% between 2000 and 2010. Eileen Boulay, the asthma program manager at DPH and a registered nurse, says that number jumps to a startling 51% among Hispanic children. Part of it, she says, could be where people, particular proximity to highways and large cities where they all live.
We see more acute care visits coming from our five largest cities, and that might be related to housing. It may be related to a lower socioeconomic status.
She says that asthma needs to be personalized so that patients need to know what is triggering their particular form of the disease. Now a look at stories making news elsewhere around the region from our sister station in Boston.
It's Garo Hagopian in the WBZ newsroom. Our top stories, the Perkins School for the Blind in Watertown, Massachusetts, is doing something revolutionary.
I'm Smart Brailer.
And Smart Brailer is being shipped around the world, teaching the blind in a whole new way, says David Morgan, the general manager of Perkins Products.
You and I, when we're sighted, pick up so much of the world around us by just living it vicariously. If you're a child or an adult who's blind, you learn through hearing and the tactile feeling, you know, that whirled through your fingertips.
Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick says he's committed to changing the state's transportation system, and that includes getting rid of those toll takers along the Mass Pike and adding more electronic tolling.
It's going to save us some money and, above all, make the commute
and the use of the pike more convenient for people.
Though there's no timetable yet, Transportation Secretary Richard Davey says 90% of Massachusetts toll workers may ultimately be affected.
Toll collectors have done nothing wrong. It's just technology has caught up with them.
For WTIC News Talk 1080, I'm Garo Hagopian, WBZ News Radio 1030 in Boston.
Stocks, traffic, and weather in 2 minutes. WTIC News Time 6:05.
If your insurance agent's name isn't on the tip of your tongue, perhaps you should talk to the Roland Dumont Agency in Bristol, a proud member of the Acorn Insurance Alliance.
When it comes to really understanding your insurance needs, speak with someone who cares. I'm Melanie Dumont with the Roland Dumont Agency. Saving money is important. That's why we have over 20 insurance companies like the Hartford to choose from. For your home, auto, or business insurance, let us do the shopping for you. Call the Dumont Agency, 860-582-8161, or visit Dumont Agency.
Tis the season for giving, which means you have to find some awesome gifts for the sports fans in your life. With CBS Local's Fan Shop, not only can you find great team gear, but you can also save money. Visit CBSLocalFanShop.com today through the end of the year and enter the promo code HOLIDAY10 to get an additional 10% off. Get tremendous gifts for the sports fan on your shopping list at CBSLocalFanShop.com today and use the promo code HOLIDAY10 to save even more.
Hey guys, remember when you were 18 with unlimited energy and the stamina to do anything you wanted anytime? Wish you could relive your glory days and have the testosterone drive of your teenage years with the experience and skill you have today? Now you can with ProGene Daily Complex.
This is Dr. Todd Karen from the American Academy of Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine. Testosterone levels decrease in men after the age of 20. It's a major cause of the aging process. The effects include lack of energy, decrease in muscle mass, increasing belly fat, and decreased sexual performance, all of which impact self-esteem, confidence, and most importantly, overall quality of life.
Kick your drive back into high gear with ProGene. Call 800-943-2706 today to get a full month absolutely free. No injections, no prescription needed. ProGene is an all-natural herbal supplement that helps men boost testosterone production. Claim your free month supply now by calling 800-943-2706. That's 800-943-2706. Again, 800-943-2706. Shipping and processing charges apply.
WTIC News Time 6:07. Stocks closed with modest gains after a strong sales report from McDonald's offset concerns about the surprise resignation of Italy's prime minister. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 15 points to end at 13,170 today. The index traded within a narrow range of just 56 points. The NASDAQ was up 9 points to 2,987. The S&P 500 gained less than a point to 1,419. McDonald's rose 93 cents to 89.41. The company's sales rose in November as U.S. customers bought more breakfast offerings and limited-time cheddar bacon onion sandwiches. Italian Prime Minister Mario Monti stepped down after losing support from a key political party. Rising stocks narrowly outnumbered falling ones today on the New York Stock Exchange, and volume was 2.9 billion shares. Let's head out to the highways one more time and see how people are getting through that soupy fog out there on this Monday. Mark?
Yeah, it's tough out there driving. The visibility is very low, Bill. We are dealing with some accidents. One is in Avon, Route 10 near Old Farms Road. We had an accident with a fuel spill out there. Look for some delays getting through that area. Also, 84 westbound, exit 68 in Tolland, an accident on the off-ramp to 195. State police are telling me that should be out of there shortly. They're putting the final phases on cleaning that up. Earlier accident, 8 northbound by 29 in Naugatuck is reportedly off the highway now. And an earlier accident, 91 southbound by exit 17 near the Wilbur Cross Parkway exit has been cleared from the highway, according to state police. But look for some delays. They'll back to exit 20 Country Club Road behind that problem. Let's wrap it up with Mike Allen, WTIC Farmington Bank, Car One. Mike?
Thank you, Mark. Well, the drive eastbound 84 is running just a little heavy as you approach and move into the tunnel in downtown. Westbound 84 closed briefly by 45 Flatbush Avenue heading into West Hartford. North and southbound 91 are pretty quiet now. A little volume here and there, but no big delays. Route 2 eastbound's in pretty good shape.
And Mike, into New Haven right now, 95 northbound, just seeing a little bit of a delay up by 46 along Wharf Drive, and that could have cost you a lot of time. South of 95, also a little slowdown by exit 46 Sergeant Drive. That's about it. Traffic and weather together on the 8th. Mike Allen, Jerry Griswold, come back tomorrow morning right here at WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, thank you, Mark. And now the forecast from the WTIC Weather Center and meteorologist Steve Chaperone.
This evening and the first part of tonight, we'll have some mist, drizzle, and showers around with areas of fog, and temperatures will be mild with readings
in many places in the 50s. Then late tonight, expect the showers to end and temperatures will drop into the lower 40s. Tomorrow, any remaining clouds will give way to mostly sunny and somewhat breezy conditions. Winds will be northwest at 10 to 20 miles an hour and temperatures will be in the low and mid 40s. For Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, expect the sunny and generally seasonable weather to continue with highs between 42 and 48. I'm meteorologist Steve Schiprona, WTIC News Talk 1080.
And right now in Hartford, a temperature of 55 degrees. For these stories and more, go to WTIC.com. I'm Bill Pierce, WTIC 1080 News.
WTIC News Talk 1080 remembers our friend and colleague, Arnold Dean.
Arnold Dean, Sports Talk.
Hello again, everybody, and we are speaking to you from the Hartford Civic Center, the site of All-Star 86, the 38th annual NHL All-Star Game.
The Keys, that's one of your favorite spots, isn't it, Ted?
Well, it ought to be. I've lived there for 35 years.
Yeah.
The reason I went down there is because of the tarpon and the bonefish.
I think it's one of your favorite spots.
You know, you're going to be tested. No matter if it's hockey or if it's life itself, you're going to be tested. And that's where you separate the men from the boys. We'll be back.
For sure. Thank you, Emil. Good. Emil Francis, the president, general manager of the Hartford.
My dad's always been the voice of honesty and the voice of integrity. And he's one reason why I am what I am today. He's my hero.
Good evening, and we welcome to a very special edition of WTIC Sports Talk, the show that Arnold Dean created back in 1976 and now lives proudly in his tradition after Arnie passed away unexpectedly on Saturday morning. I'm Joe D'Ambrosio. We are here until 9 o'clock. We are delighted you are with us. We welcome your calls. We'll be talking to a lot of area people who had the chance to visit with the Dean, and most importantly to me, two of my colleagues, Scott Gray and Bob Joyce, are here. And I was thinking about this earlier, Scott and Bobby, is that we all had a unique perspective on Arnold because we grew up in Connecticut. We listened to him as youngsters. We had a chance to be mentored by him, to work with him, and to be friends with him. And that is something that I think we all say is a great honor.
Well, you know, I first remember seeing Arnold on Channel 3 when he came to Connecticut in 1965. I was a teenager. And then about 7 years later, I started in the business and got to, you know Arnold peripherally, you know, the polite, hi, how are you, the various things that we would cover together. But I never really considered myself his equal to the point where, you know, I could just sit down, hey, Arnold, you know, and let's talk and stuff. And I think it was in 1980 at the GHO Media Day at the Weathersfield Country Club. At the time, I didn't play golf, and Arnold didn't play golf. And when everybody went out for the usual free round of golf, Arnold and I had been sitting at the same table, and we stayed for a second cup of coffee, and we just talked. And it was at that moment that I realized that Arnold had really accepted me as an equal and as his peer. And it was about 5 months later. And Joe, Laurel and I were on our way to our house in New Hampshire on Saturday.
Right.
And we had stopped to pick up some groceries to take in with us. And I left my cell phone in the car. And when we got back to the car, I opened the door and the phone was ringing. And I picked it up and I saw your name. You know, I mean, you and I are buddies. And
we're friends. We don't talk on the weekends
often. But you know, we don't, you know, I don't get a lot of calls from you on my cell phone. And when I saw it, I knew something was up. And it was a little bit before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That night at dinner, I said to Laurel, I said, wait a minute. Today is December 8th. And she said, yes, it is. I said, Joe called me between noon and 1 o'clock this afternoon. On December 8th, 1980, after having been offered the job at WTIC on December 5th, which was a Friday, and asked for the weekend between, you know, to think about it, and shortly after noon, on December 8th, 1980, I called Arnold and told him I was going to accept the job. So, I mean, the call from you, Joe, was within an hour of the exact anniversary of the time that I accepted this job. And the more I, you know, the more you think about stuff like that, the more it hits you.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just, the part of my life that Arnold Dean became from that point on, you know, a member of my wedding party,
right,
and, you know, at Abby's christening, and actually, you know, he introduced me to the man who would become my best friend, Frank Benetteri. He was the guy who gave me the great advice when I said I wanted the weekend to think about taking this job. He walked me to the elevator and he said, while you're making your decision, I just want you to think about one thing. If 2 years from now you decide this isn't a good fit, it will never hurt you to have 2 years at WTIC on your resume. And that right there, I could have turned around and said, Arnold, I'll take the job. Because that thought never left my mind all weekend. That was the determining factor in my decision. And when Laurel and I first met, and we went out with Arnold, spent a couple of evenings with Arnold and Helen early in our relationship, and Arnold said to me, and I, you know, I'd been floundering in my personal life because everything was, you know, sports and business and everything. And Arnold said to me, do not let this one get away.
And you didn't.
She completes you.
No.
And 2 years later, he was in our wedding party.
It's a perfect circle. And Bob, you were, since you're so much younger than me and Scott, you had a chance to meet Arnold at a little bit of a younger age.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I mean, the WTIC was always on in the house. So, I mean, even back to the days of Michael, and I remember him hosting, but you know, he was the guy you would listen to at night doing sports talk,
right?
You know, preceding Red Sox games, preceding Whaler games. And I was what, 21, 22? I met him in the fall of 87 at the Tip of Whaler dinner. Was my first year working with Chuck and the Whalers. Arnold did the show from the catwalk. Chuck was on a wireless down at the Civic Center floor level. And I will admit, I was a little nervous meeting Arnold for the first time. But it turned out to be a great friendship, and I'm glad I got to know him for as long as I did, 25 years.
I got to meet him the first time, 79, when I was working down on the shoreline, and the first big thing that I covered was the golf in Weathersfield. I don't remember which reincarnation
Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, it was the Sammy Davis Jr. Greater Hartford Open, and I meekly went up to him and introduced myself because as a kid growing up in Hartford, we would go to Dillon Stadium and watch the Hartford Knights play. First the Charter Oaks and then the Knights. And Arnold was brought in to do those games on the radio. So when I kidded with Arnold about listening to him as a kid, it was the truth. I mean, I was 12 years old when he came into the market. And the great thing about Arnold is that when you talk to him, and I've witnessed, and we've all witnessed him doing this with so many people, no matter who you were, Arnold had the decency to give you the time and hear you out and hear what you wanted to talk about. And, it, you know, I mean, so many of the tributes, and we'll talk about those as we go along the way, so many of the tributes to Arnold stress that about him. As great a broadcaster as he was an even better person. And I think that's a lesson that's something that's pretty special. All right, here's the guest list for tonight. We've done as well as we could. Chuck Caton, Howie Dickman, D. Rowe, Pat Meiser, John Nobilski, Mark Davis, Bill Dietrich, Wayne Norman, Joe Castiglione, and Kevin Nathan. We're hoping to hear from Ronnie Francis.
You know, the introduction that we ran, Arnold at the All-Star game, that night, I can remember very well that night, Ron Francis was injured. It was a heartbreaking moment right. In his career. He couldn't play in the All-Star game on his home ice. And Arnold and I watched the All-Star game up on the catwalk with Ron Francis that night.
Pretty good stuff. Never forget that. Pretty good stuff. All right, Ryan Cosgrove is here to run the controls. Bob has done a wonderful job of putting together some sound from Arnold. We'll go to our first break. We'll take your calls when we have a chance. And our first guest will be the legendary voice of the Whalers, Chuck Caton. That's next. This is Sports Talk, the Arnold Dean Tribute, next on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Phone lines are all busy at 522-0262. Excuse me, 522-0200. I'm giving the wrong telephone number. 522-0200. No, I'm not excited, friends. Lines are all busy, though. Make a note of the number, and we'll tell you when we have some open lines for your telephone call on WTIC 10.
Life in the modern world isn't always easy. Sometimes your DVR records a non-HD show. Or you're on the couch getting a car insurance quote, and you have to get up and find your car's VIN. Well, not with Esurance Express Lane. It looks up your car info for you, so you can stay on your couch.
maybe never get up again. Infinite couchdom. That's insurance for the modern world. Esurance. Now backed by Allstate. Click or call.
Visit esurance.com or call 1-800-ESURANCE for a quote. Not available in all states. Savings may vary.
Getting gifts for the sports fan in your life has never been easier this holiday season thanks to CBS Local's Fan Shop. We've got the jerseys and gear for almost every team in any sport. And if you visit CBS Local's Fan Shop today through the end of the year and enter the promo code HOLIDAY10, you'll get an additional 10% off your purchase. Visit CBSLocalFanShop.com today and use the promo code HOLIDAY10 to save even more from CBS Local's Fan Shop.
If you have bad credit, you're not alone. Did you know that as much as 79% of all credit reports contain errors and incorrect information? Having great credit is more important than ever. Let nationally recognized credit expert Jason M. Kaplan help. Jason and his team of FICO experts will give you a free consultation and discuss how they can get your credit life back on track. Call 877-731-0082 for your free credit consultation and analysis. There's no upfront fees, and you only pay for results. Call the credit pros now at 877-731-0082.
Do you suffer from pain like joint pain, muscle pain, back pain, or painful arthritis? Then you must listen to this important message. Nearly half of all Americans suffer from some kind of pain due to chronic inflammation. Anatoblock is a breakthrough supplement scientifically proven to quickly and effectively reduce inflammation and get rid of pain. Anatoblock is so effective in preventing excessive inflammation and reducing the pain, we guarantee you'll feel a significant difference in just a few days. Best of all, Anatoblock is now available to try for free. That's right. Call 800-591-5693 now and get out of pain absolutely free. Anatoblock is now looking for real-life testimonials for anyone who has back pain, muscle pain, or painful arthritis. Call 800-591-5693 to get your free supply and get out of pain today. Just call 800-591-5693 for details. Call today. 800-591-5693. That's 800-591-5693. Again, 800-591-5693.
We'd like to thank the folks at Tallwood Country Club, particularly the McDermott family, for letting us borrow John Nobilski for the weekend. By the way, he is celebrating his 25th year at Tallwood already. That's
almost as much as your birthday today.
Don't even mention that, or put a number with it. The shop manager is Judy McCusker. I understand, John, that she gave everybody 25% discounts in honor of this anniversary for you today. Is that true?
Knowing Judy, probably 40.
Well, you're lucky she didn't. John, you're lucky she didn't give him 75% discounts in honor of Dean's birthday.
Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. How's that?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I'll go shopping myself.
Arnold always looking for a deal. John Nobilski will be with us at 7:35. Jody Ambrosio, Scott Gray, and Bob Joyce here as we reminisce and pay tribute to Arnold Dean. I talked to Kevin Ollie on Saturday, and Arnold loved no collegiate athlete more than he loved KO as a player. And Kevin, at the end of the call, says we'll pay tribute to his life and not mourn his passing. And I think that's a perfect way to appreciate this. And before we get Caton on the phone, if people, you know, we should have made a tape of what happened off air at the golf and sold that at Christmas time for charities. One of two things would have happened: we would have made a lot of money, or we all would have gotten fired.
I have a picture. I recently was putting together a scrapbook, and one of the pictures I came across, and you guys may have copies of this or at least remember it, a picture that was taken of you, Bob, Joe, me, John Nobilski, Chuck Caton, and Arnold Dean standing on a platform above the 18th green.
Yes, I have that.
And, you know, the first thing that stands out in that picture it's the tonnage that we've added since that picture was taken would sink a battleship.
That's unbelievable. And one of the people who we loved being out in Cromwell with, but we loved him even more with his spectacular calls of Hartford Whaler games, is our good friend down in Carolina, Chuck Caton, who joins us now. Charles, you're on with Scott and Bob and myself, and it's an honor to speak to you, and I know Arnold held you near to his heart, and I know you feel the same way about him.
Absolutely, Joe, and it's great to be with you guys. And I guess if you're talking golf, it's most appropriate because I'm driving back from Pinehurst, North Carolina right now, where I played with a couple of good friends today. It's about an hour from my house. I'm very lucky. It was about a 71-degree day, and I was thinking all day, as I have for the entire time since Bob called me on Saturday to tell me about the untimely death of Arnold. And I am so, A, shocked, but I am celebrating his life because I know he would want us to do that.
Well, you know, Chuck, when you talk about being out there playing golf, I got to tell you, every time I hear play-by-play of you, and we do pick up a lot of the cuts of you during the Hurricanes games, it brings a tear to my eye, but I always wanted to follow you around the golf course when you're playing and just go, Chuck on seven, Chuck on seven, Chuck on seven.
Yeah, I know. John, that makes a big thing about that. I mean, I know that, well, actually, believe it or not, I'm actually breaking 90 now thanks to our move to North Carolina. I don't know if that had anything to do with it or just the frequency with which I play now, but I do think that when I don't know, Scott, I'm just so torn because I'm so unhappy about hearing, you know, when you talk about legendary people that you meet in life, and I know all of us share this opinion about Arnold. He was such a just a terrific person to be around. I mean, you savored every day. I had some email correspondence or texting correspondence that I actually talked to guys like Ray Ferraro, who's working at TSN now, and to Kevin Dineen, who's coaching the Florida Panthers now, and was telling them about, you know, the fact that Arnold had passed, and they had so many tremendous memories of him. That's the legacy of the individual. I mean, all the great things that we remember about Arnold, they're going to be things that we're going to, you know, keep the rest of our lives. And, you know, he was such a, just a terrific person to be around and was so inspirational to all of us as broadcasters. I don't care how long we worked in the business. Arnold Dean would be that calming influence, that terrific guy that you could bounce ideas off of. And I really thoroughly enjoyed working with him, especially in 86 when, the Hurricanes, the Whalers at that time had their best year ever and went two rounds against Montreal. I remember taking him around the town and him enjoying himself both on and off the ice. So those are memories I'll always cherish.
Well, yeah, and we're going to hear one of those comments a little later on. The postscript after you described the game-winning goal in overtime back in 86. What was it like just to be around Arnold at a hockey rink? I mean, he broke some big stories for us. The one that I can think of is, and it was unfortunate because it started the downfall, when he was in Buffalo with you with a contest winner, and he calls the station reporting that Ronnie had been stripped of his captaincy of the Whalers.
That's right, Bob. I mean, I remember that like that was yesterday. We were on a flight flying to Buffalo, and I remember Ricky Lee contemplating the fact that they were going to take the captaincy away from Ron, and Ron sitting at the back of the plane. These were in the days when we just started doing a few charters to different cities, and Buffalo was one of the few places we did charter an aircraft to, so it was a plane where it was just the team, and it was tough because obviously Ron Francis meant a lot to the organization and now still does. It's really funny how hockey works, because now not only is he Jim Rutherford's assistant general manager, but he's a part owner of the team. So technically, he's like 1/20th of my boss right now. And here's the guy who was an 18-year-old black curly-haired kid when I remember him in 81 drafted. And when Bill Dineen, who was Larry Flo's assistant, said, we're going to take this guy named Ron Francis or I'm going to quit. And Bill Dineen put his job on it, and Bill was right. And they took him, and, with all the talk about Bobby Carpenter at that time. But, Arnold was the best because he was able to straddle that line between being a trusted person, what you could tell information to, or people like Rick Lee or Eddie Johnston at the time, or Emil Francis could talk to Arnold and be confident in the fact that they could trust him, and I think that was the biggest legacy of him. He knew how to straddle the line between being a hardline reporter and being just a great supporter of the team. He loved the Whalers, and that was the thing that warmed my heart the most. And I remember talking to him the day that the Whalers were announced that they were leaving, and it crushed him.
Yep.
There were only two times I ever saw him speechless. It was Game 7 when Claude Lemieux scored, at 5:55 of overtime on that April 29th day in 86, where he just looked at me and I just made the call and he couldn't say anything. He was speechless. It was one of two times that you could catch Arnold without something to say. And the other time was when the team announced on May 6th of 97 that they were leaving.
Well, Chuck, we're so honored that you've been able to join us tonight. I heard a rumor that Mary-Kate and Claudia Weber are the two wives who are struggling the most with the NHL lockout because you and Peter just driving your spouses crazy. Is that right?
Well, I know that's about Mary-Kate, and I don't know about Claudia. I think she's got more patience than my wife. This is why I go to Pinehurst every other day. I mean, if it wasn't 75 degrees today, and if I was shut in or if it was raining or something, I'd be really going crazy. But you're right. After 37 years with my wife, I'm like Walter Alston. I think we'll have one more year, and then we'll see what happens. the contract may not be renewed after this year.
Hey, Chuck, before you go, I just want to mention, you mentioned some of the guys that you talked to. One of the first people I heard from today was Howard Baldwin.
Really? I'm not surprised. I mean, Howard Baldwin, you know, for all of the whatever people think about him, I'll tell you right now, he's a passionate person, and Howard Baldwin's a caring person, and I'm not surprised you heard from him because the man was always terrific to me, and I'm sure that Arnold had a very soft spot in his heart for Howard and Howard for him. I'm not surprised at all.
He did. Chuck, thanks for taking the time to join us. Good luck. We hope we hear you calling games real soon, and thanks for being a part of tonight.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I miss you all, and God bless you all.
Always
you.
A pleasure, Chuck.
The great Chuck Caton. Billy Pierce worked under Arnold. He's going to join us, too, but right now he's got news a little past 6:30 on the special night as we pay homage to the great Arnold Dean.
Season's greetings from WTIC.
The WTIC Holiday Stores to benefit the Salvation Army opens Friday through Christmas Eve. Go to WTIC.com for store hours, locations, and how you can help. Now, a WTIC News Update.
Good evening, I'm Bill Pierce, WTIC 1080 News. The new Fairfield man charged in the Saturday night shooting death of his wife during a fight says she came at him with a knife. 63-year-old Robert Bell is being held in lieu of $750,000 bond in the death of 47-year-old Svetlana Bell, who was shot four times in the chest. State police have arrested a man already behind bars on other charges in the September shooting death of a Norwich man in Basra. Daquan McEachin is charged with murder in the death of 28-year-old Darius Bishop, who was shot in the head. His body was found on a baseball field September 25th. Hartford police have obtained a warrant for the arrest of 38-year-old Miguel Santiago of Hartford in the November 29th stabbing of 28-year-old Joshua Henry on King Street in the city. Henry remains in critical condition. The warrant charges Santiago with criminal attempt to commit murder and assault in the first degree. He's also wanted on a previous warrant on charges of larceny, threatening, and breach of peace. Governor Daniel Malloy says he expects painful budget cuts to be part of a deficit reduction plan that does not increase taxes. Talks between the administration and legislative leaders began this afternoon on a deficit-cutting plan. The state is facing a $415 million deficit in the current fiscal year, and Malloy has already ordered more than $100 million in spending cuts and is proposing another $220 million in reductions to close the budget gap. President Barack Obama digging in his heels on the issue of higher tax rates for the wealthiest Americans. In a campaign-style appearance at a Michigan auto plant today, the president said he will not compromise on the position during negotiations with Republicans on ways to avert the fiscal cliff, that a sharp increase in taxes and deep spending cuts will go into effect in January unless some kind of a deal can be reached between the president and the Republicans in Congress. From the 24-hour WTIC Traffic Network, we have a two-vehicle crash, I-84 westbound in Hartford between exits 48 and 47. The left lane closed between Asylum Street and the Sigourney Street exit. Now the forecast from the WTIC Weather Center and meteorologist Steve Chaprone.
This evening and the first part of tonight, we'll have some mist, drizzle, and showers around with areas of fog, and temperatures will be mild with readings in many places in the 50s. Then late tonight, expect the showers to end and temperatures will drop into the lower 40s. Tomorrow, any remaining clouds will give way to mostly sunny and somewhat breezy conditions. Winds will be northwest at 10 to 20 miles an hour, and temperatures will be in the low and mid 40s. For Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, expect the sunny and generally seasonable weather to continue, with highs between 42 and 48. I'm meteorologist Steve Schiprona, WTIC News Talk 1080.
And right now in Hartford, a temperature of 56 degrees. For these stories and more, go to WTIC.com. I'm Bill Pierce, WTIC 1080 News.
I'm Valerie Harper, inviting you to come see my hilarious comedy, Looped. It's a screamingly funny play, and I'm so excited to be back on stage in Hartford at the Bushnell Theater. I portray Tallulah Bankhead, a foul-mouthed, drug-addicted, bourbon-soaked, promiscuous actress, and oh, honey, did I have to do a lot of research.
Don't miss Valerie Harper in her Tony Award-nominated performance starting January 24th at the Bushnell, co-sponsored by Travelers and Webster Bank. For tickets, visit bushnell.org.
A Connecticut tradition since 1826, the Hitchcock Chair Company is back in business. Hitchcock Furniture is all handmade right here in Connecticut from solid maple or solid cherry and is available in a variety of finishes. But Hitchcock is more than just chairs. You can find pieces for every room in your house, dining room, living room, bedroom, as well as lighting, accessories, and more. Hitchcock Chair is back. Come visit the store on Route 20 in Riverton or log on to HitchcockChair.com.
The craving for chocolate is all grown up.
That's Jared!
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, presents Levion chocolate diamonds and chocolate-cultured South Sea pearls. From ancient royalty to today's red carpet, Levion is the only company on Earth to make jewelry with chocolate diamonds, including exclusive designs you'll only find at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
They say that if an umpire isn't noticed during the course of a game, that he's done a super job. Terry Tato was noticed and did an extra super job, and Tim McCarver and everybody let the world know about it. Terry, congratulations to you.
Well, thank you, Arnold, and thank you for that buildup. I don't know about the star image, but it was a great series.
Another standing ovation. The players got to their feet immediately as Geno came forward. He's now holding the trophy high for everybody to share.
Greg Norman is the leader at 13 under par, and he is followed closely by Fuzzy Zeller at 12 under.
Some of the great sounds of the great Arnold Dean, who passed away at the age of 82. This is a very special edition of Sports Talk. We've been joined, Scott Gray, Bob Joyce, and myself have been joined by our colleague Bill Pierce, who worked with Arnold and under Arnold, and as we said, Billy, at the start, what makes this quartet unique, other than a lot of personal issues, is that we all lived in Connecticut, we all heard Arnold when we were young, and then we had a chance to work with him.
Yeah, we're very lucky, and the thing about Arnold is, as all of you know, the person you heard on the radio was the person that Arnold Dean was off the air. I mean, he was a genuinely nice person, and in this business, there are so many people with so many egos and people with an immense amount of talent, and Arnold had all the reason in the world to have a huge ego, and Arnold didn't have an ounce of ego in him anywhere. He was just a joy to work with, and you know that because we did a lot of things outside of work together as well and enjoyed it, and that's a rarity nowadays in any business, but certainly in this one. It's difficult to find someone you can genuinely enjoy working with and actually spending time outside of work doing other things.
And you mentioned, Bobby, during the break, part of the tradition of the golf coverage would be a round three excursion to a restaurant for fine dining and maybe, not for you, but for everybody else, an adult beverage or two. And those were nights.
See how that clarified. Thank you.
Those were nights that will live in infamy.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we would leave that place in stitches with all the stories we would tell between Chuck and you and Scott and Nobilski and Arnold and Billy and whoever else decided to join us. But yeah, that was as much fun, if not more so, knowing that still we had to get up early the next morning to be back for round four, and we went business as usual.
Well, it was, you know, it was just that kind of week. It was a lot of intense work. We'd be out at the golf course starting on Monday. The days would be early, the days would be late, the days would be long, and boy, when we had that chance to really cut loose on Saturday night. And Arnold, you know, everybody in town knew Arnold. Arnold wanted
it was like going out with the governor.
Right. Yeah. Arnold wanted a private room, you know, at, you know, the best restaurants in town, Max's downtown. You got it, you know. And you know, they'd set us up really well, and we just have ourselves a grand old party.
And part of the beauty of Arnold, Billy, was that we would kid him a lot about everything under the sun.
Yeah.
And people have this image of the gentlemanly, kind Arnold Dean. He could give back even better
than he would get.
That's right, he would. But I'll tell you, he could take it, and that's the great thing. We all had that kind of a rapport when we were in the situation, as you mentioned, especially during that week during the golf tournament, where everything is just so intense. But you had those moments where you'd have things like that happen that really kind of helped you get through the day before you could get out to that dinner after round three. And it's just one of the greatest experiences I've ever had anywhere in my broadcast career. And all of us have worked at other media outlets. And that's another thing about Arnold. It didn't matter if you worked at another outlet.
Right.
You were still good friends with Arnold because that's the kind of person he was.
Well, all right. You know, I was just going to say that when Arnold could give as good as he got, if you had done something stupid during the day and you became the target, he was always such a gentleman that it made, you know, when he made you look like a jerk, it felt like being a jerk was an honor.
Exactly. All right, somebody else who grew up in Connecticut and was a high school basketball star in Norwich and then a terrific player at Central, then an assistant at UConn, and now the very successful head coach at Central Connecticut State University. And I know one of Arnold's favorite interview subjects is with us now, Howie Dickerman. And Coach, thanks for being with us as we pay tribute to a guy who was a Connecticut icon.
Well, I think you're right on the money with that, Joe. I think of Arnold, I think of Mr. Positive. You know, no matter what the situation, no matter how you might be down for something, he always seemed to make you feel good. And he was always such a humble person. Just, he tried to make you feel better. And, you know, if you didn't like Arnold Dean, you probably didn't like anybody, because he was that, you couldn't help but like and maybe even love him. And one thing he was not was a self-promoter. But I have to give you a little bit of a quick story about, he was a bit of a self-promoter this one particular time. So about 18 years ago at the University of Connecticut, it was a Saturday afternoon, and he and his lovely wife, Helen, were doing something for fundraising or a campaign for something, and we were walking around Jake Voskuil from Texas and trying to recruit him to the University of Connecticut. And as I was talking with Arnold for maybe 5 or 8 or 10 minutes about this, that, and everything, Helen was talking with Jake. And so at the end, things developed, and Jake wound up coming from Texas to the University of Connecticut. And I always said to Arnold, I said, you know what? Your wife is a heck of a recruiter, because she's the reason why he came to the University of Connecticut and had a great career. And then he goes on to say, you know, I'm a pretty good promoter myself. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I recruited Helen. That was the best recruit I could ever have. Yeah, well, they were a special couple. I mean, they were, you know, when she passed away, he still stayed as positive as possible. And you would see Arnold at a media event or a function, a golf outing or a dinner or something. I'm not sure if there are many Arnold Deans around anymore.
Well, you know, Howie, when I think about you and your relationship with Arnold, and we're talking about how far back we go as kids, you know, originally listening to Arnold on watching him on TV and listening to him on the radio. A lot of people forget. I mean, you probably go back with Arnold to when you were a star in high school, and then he covered you when you were an All-American at Central Connecticut. And, of course, through your coaching career, first at UConn and now at Central Connecticut. And, you know, and when you stop and think about Arnold, his relationship with you, guys like Joe Arnone, he always really had a very special relationship with Central Connecticut.
Yes, he was, I guess, brought on board at Central Connecticut, to use that term, by Dr. Bill Moore. And the reason behind that was that Arnold would bring some professionalism to the university by doing what he did so well. And Central Connecticut at the time was a great school, but it always wanted to get some more, I guess, credibility. And Arnold Dean brought credibility to Central Connecticut State College, as it was known at the time. So when you knew Arnold was speaking and working, you know, in some ways for Central Connecticut, the respect for the school rose a lot higher.
Howie, if you were going to tell your players the best qualities of Arnold, what would you tell them?
Well, we have a acronym that we follow here, and I would say it applies to Arnold to the nth degree. We believe in HAT, and H stands for humble, and T stands for appreciative, and T stands for thankful. Humble, appreciative, and thankful. And we kind of follow those three letters, and I truly believe that Arnold Dean was all of that acronym.
That's for sure. Hey, Howie, thank you for the time. It was nice you could get John Mellencamp and Meg Ryan to come to your game the other night. Now you just got to get them to New Britain.
Well, they wanted tickets from Central Connecticut because they didn't know anybody. It's Indiana, so we gave them what they wanted, and so we're happy to host them.
Can I just give Howie a chance to self-promote a little bit here?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
You know, Howie, you know, I've watched your team play a couple of times this year. I mean, you talk about a really exciting team that can play up-tempo basketball. It looks like you're going to have the ability to run some teams into the ground along the way. But one of the things that you're going to have to do, I guess, is really develop some depth in a rotation. How are you coming on putting together a rotation for the season as you get into the conference schedule?
Well, first of all, as you said, we have limited depth, but we're trying to ingrain some playing time for players who haven't got much. And I'm at school now, and I just stuck my head into the gym because I heard a ball bouncing, and one of our players, Eric Rawley, who's probably played a total of 3 minutes this year, was in the gym shooting through the gun net, you know, sends the ball back to you after it goes through the net. So, you know, and I told him, that's how you get playing time. You got to work at it. And we have a freshman point guard, a walk-on, who played at Windsor High for Kenny Smith last year, and his biggest crowd in which he played before was 1,700. And so the other day he got half a dozen minutes before 17,000 people. So he grew up a little bit. And we just can't continue to have Kyle play 40 minutes and Matthew Hunter, who had 40 points the other night, one basket short of beating Steve Alford for all-time scoring leader in Assembly Hall. And then Malcolm McMillan, who played 30 minutes last year, is playing 40. Adonis Burbage played 11 last year. He's playing 33. What we're trying to do is give shorter practices, 1.5 hours, no matter what. When the bell rings after 90 minutes, we're done. And gave them, obviously, yesterday off, today off, tomorrow off for legs and certainly for academic reasons. But we need more help in that area. And we'll find some time. And it won't be a lot of time for some of those people coming off the bench. But they can contribute with maybe 3 or 4 minutes here, 3 or 4 minutes there. And that would only helps also the camaraderie in amongst the team. But we've played 8 games this year. One has been in Dietrich Gym. So the next two against Northeastern and St. Peter's is in Dietrich Gym. So hopefully we'll have some people come out and watch us play.
Well, we certainly hope so. Coach, thanks for taking a few minutes to share your memories of the great Arnold Dean.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it. That's Howie Dickeman. We go from somebody who listened and knew Arnold from the time he was a kid to someone who I know was one of Arnold's favorite athletes to cover, the great Ron Francis, who played so many great years for the Whalers and is now, as Chuck Hayton has said, is Chuck Hayton's boss with the Carolina Hurricanes. Ronnie, how are you? Thank you for joining us on this night where we pay tribute to a great man.
My pleasure. I wish it was under different circumstances, but you're absolutely right. Arnold was a great man. He'll be missed.
When you first came to Hartford, obviously you were 18 years old. You were a rookie to the ways of the world. What was it like when you met somebody like Arnold who kind of took a liking to you as a player and as a person right away?
Well, you know, you're in this business a long time, and you know, I think you meet few people who are like Arnold. I mean, he was just a really, really good person. You know, I mean, he was genuine in his approach and his conversations with you. You knew that, you know, he wasn't out to trick you or slight you in any way. He was sincere and really, you know, wanted to get to know you and talk to you and just a great person. And, you know, I really enjoyed getting to know him in my days in Hartford and, you know, ran into him once or twice after that or talked to him once or twice, and it was great.
You know, Ron, this is Scott Gray, and, you know, still a quarter of a century later, you are a sports icon in Hartford, and I guess you're kind of doomed to always be, but I think one of the moments that I remember the most was a very bittersweet moment for you, and I remember the night of the All-Star game at the Hartford Civic Center in 1986, and how heartbreaking it was for you with your foot in a cast and you not being able to play in the All-Star game on your home ice, even though you'd been elected. And I remember that night, Ron, standing with you and Arnold Dean watching the game from up on the catwalk looking down, and what a bittersweet moment that had to be for you.
Yeah, well, first of all, hello, Scott, good to talk to you as well. And, yeah, you know,
you look at that, and you know, as a kid, you're saying, okay, we're going to have the All-Star game in Hartford. It's my hometown, my home rink, you know, and then you start to dream that, you know, you're going to have one of those nights, and you're going to be the MVP, and everything's going to be perfect, and next thing you know, you're in a cast and on crutches, and you're not able to play in the game. But, you know, that was certainly a special moment for me, being able to kind of, you know, stick my my head out the door, and the reception I got from the fans, it was tremendous. And, you know, I do remember up in the catwalk watching the game with you guys, and you know, even though I wished I could be on the ice, it was certainly a fun night, you know, all in all.
I would have been angry if you, that either Scott or Arnold didn't get you a chair if you had a broken foot. hey, Ronnie, finally, before we let you go, and we sure do appreciate you calling in, because as I said, you and the new UConn coach Kevin Ollie, I think, are Arnold's two favorite athletes that he had the chance to deal with, along with a guy like Dwight Evans. But you know, the time in Hartford was pretty special, and we like to think that one reason it was because obviously of guys like you and Kevin and Ray and Quenneville and the like and Tippett, but also because you had a guy like Arnold Dean who was there to report on what you did and talk about you in a positive way, not like some of the sports talk that goes on now.
No, I don't think that was the beauty of how Arnold did his show. I mean, it was always it was upbeat, it was informative. He got the message across he wanted to get across, but he did it in a nice manner. And you know, I think you know, I still keep in touch with all those guys from that team, and you know, they all still talk about Arnold and the respect they had for him and how he did things, and you know, just good memories from those days in Hartford, and you know, as you see, so many of those guys are still involved in the game in different facets, and you know, that had a lot to do with it. We had a special group growing up in that market, and I think Arnold had a big part in sort of helping steer and guide and you know, how you sort of be a professional as you move along the path.
Hey, Ronnie, thanks for taking the time. I know Arnold's looking down, very happy that you had the chance to join us. And on behalf of everybody at TIC, we appreciate your time in coming to join us. So thanks a lot. Hope the family's well, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. Like I said, it was great talking to you. I wish it was under better circumstances, but, you know, he was a great man. He deserved more than a call, and I'm glad I was able to be a part of this night honoring him.
All right, thanks, Ronnie.
Always a pleasure, Ron.
The great Ron Francis. And I mean, you know, you were working, we were both working elsewhere at that time, but, yeah, you know, we were at that All-Star game. And the thing about Ron Francis and that group was just the professional way for young guys that they carried themselves.
That really was. And I always look at that trade of Ron Francis as the beginning of the end of the Whalers in Hartford. It really was a devastating trade for the franchise, and to lose somebody like Ronnie Francis, not only as a player but as a person, really, really took its toll.
All right, we are about 15 minutes behind on breaks here, and the traffic department will be down. You know what? The hell with them. We don't care. It's 6:54. Bob Joyce, Scott Gray, Bill Pierce, I'm Joe D'Ambrosio.
Marcus Shark is going to get mad at us?
Yeah, because, you know, weather, as we say on TV, weather never goes long. 6:54, a special tribute to the Dean going through 9 here at WTIC.
Social media can be a powerful communication tool. St. Germain Investment Management knows that. It can do a lot of things, but it cannot embrace you as an individual investor. For something as personal as your financial goals, St. Germain believes face-to-face conversation and interaction provides more value and control. Call 1-800-443-7624. St. Germain Investment Management, leading investors since 1924.
The Mancini Packing Company has been indulging our taste buds since 1922 with great-tasting roasted peppers, fried onions, roasted jalapeno peppers, roasted red and yellow sandwich strips, fried long-hot cayenne peppers, sweet pepper strips, and hot sauce. Everyone loves the great taste of Mancini. And now Mancini introduces Hot or Mild Giardiniera, perfect for French dip sandwiches, pastas, or even as antipasto. Pick up a jar today. Did you know that Mancini's famous roasted peppers are low in sodium and all
Mancini products are made in the USA. And all Mancini fried products are fried in canola oil for guilt-free enjoyment. If your supermarket doesn't carry the Mancini product you're looking for, just ask the manager. For more information and recipes, visit mancinifoods.com. Mancini, love your sandwiches again.
Mancini peppers, available at Stop & Shop, Big Y World Class Market, ShopRite, and all IGA stores.
I have the feeling that Connecticut will always be a part of your future anyway.
It will. I mean, we always come back here. My mother and father-in-law live in Glastonbury, Jerry and Al Morasso, and they have a beautiful house, and we've got two great little grandkids that they can't get enough of. So I'll plan on spending, I'm going to actually spend a lot of my summer here this year between here and Lake George, and Hartford's someplace I'll always certainly hold dear, and a lot of great fond memories.
And we have great memories of Kevin Dineen during his time with the Whalers, of course, interviewed by our friend and colleague, Arnold Dean. Jody Ambrosio, Scott Gray, Bob Joyce, Bill Pierce with us here as we remember the Dean. Let's take a couple of phone calls while we have a chance. Bill in Norwich, you're on WTIC.
Actually, I'm calling from North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw N-O-R.
Norwich, North Carolina.
Right, Norwich, North Carolina.
Rutherford County, North Carolina.
Go ahead, Bill.
In Western North Carolina. Well, anyway, I'm originally from Andover. I'm an Andover native, 23 years down here in North Carolina, and I'm going to miss the Dean. I've grown up with the Dean for all the years I lived in Connecticut. He was really cool, the announcer.
Yeah, he was, you know, and I think the thing about him was because of his versatility, it wasn't just sports fans who felt that way about Arnold.
No, I mean, in the early days when he first started here, I mean, he was a host. I mean, the various music shows, I mentioned Mike Line. I mean, he was one of the staff announcers. He brought like guys like Al Terzi along along his wing, you know, on his wing, and started to mentor folks like him. And, you know, everyone he touched at some point, whether you worked with him or whether you didn't, he always had words of encouragement for you. And that's one of the great positives about Arnold.
I'm going to say something, and I'm going to get a nod from everybody in this room because we've all been there. How many times were you with Arnold when somebody would come up to him and the first words out of their mouth would be, I'm not a big sports fan, but.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the story. We were walking back from the All-Star game that time.
No, we can tell that off here.
We can tell that off here. Can you stay with us for a little longer?
Yeah, I think so.
Because Francis doesn't do any
work.
Well,
he's going to do the news.
He doesn't work hard enough.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. D-Row, Pat Meiser, John Nobilski, Mark Davis, and Bill Dietrich coming up next hour, along with Bill Pierce, Scott Gray, Bob Joyce, Ryan Cosgrove, our producer. I'm Joe D'Ambrosio on the special night as we pay tribute to the great Arnold Dean here on WTIC News Talk 1080.